Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mother, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is writer Sarah Wood. We love Sarah. There's so much to talk about. So before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get 2 bonus What's Up episodes per week. Kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever is on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Wood. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I think the last time you were on the show was August, so it hasn't been that long. But I do know you took a trip. And When we started our conversation off mic today, you told me that you're getting over COVID. So I have lots of questions. Now, you said you were all the way up to date vaccinated, right? So when's the last time you were vaccinated?
Maybe end of September.
Okay. So I think that's about the time I did it. I don't remember. I did it probably like a week or two after it was available. So, and did you get it because you were traveling?
I'm going to guess so. I went to London and I went with my wife, and we were there for several days, and we were like doing all the touristy things. We were on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Plus being on airplanes. I mean, I could have gotten it from anywhere. So.
And so like, okay. When you got home on what day and when did you start getting symptoms?
I got home on a Friday and started getting symptoms the following Tuesday.
Okay. And what were the symptoms?
They were just like basic cold stuff, but I did get a fever, like 101 fever.
Okay. Did you have body aches?
I didn't, actually. Hmm. No, it was basically like a cold with a fever. That's basically what I had.
And you said the worst of it was 3 days, and then so how long have you been sick? And with the worst of it being 3 days, what was it like for the days following those 3 days? How has it been? So how long has it been since you got sick?
Oh God. A few weeks maybe. Okay. But basically now it's just like, I get a little bit winded if I try to do like too much exercise.
Gotcha.
Like I've tried to play pickleball yesterday and was really winded. and I'm also out of shape. And then I just have like a little bit of a cough, like a residual kind of whatever.
Right. Did your wife also get COVID?
She didn't. I don't know how.
Interesting.
She's also fully vaxxed. But I like put myself in the guest room and like wore a mask if I left. I Lysoled everything. I tried my best to like keep her healthy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. That's just so fascinating to me that like, because that happened. My mom went to Ohio a couple of years ago because her friend's son was getting married. So they were freshly vaxxed. This was like the 2022 summer. And so everybody was like freshly vaxxed and everything. And so she stayed with her friends. The wife got her girlfriend got COVID. My mother was staying there. And then the wife was obviously sleeping in the bed with her husband, and her husband never got it. And my mother never got it. So it's just odd, how it's like you're around
people.
It's super
weird. Yeah. Like that's the same with my in-laws. Like, well, my dad got it. My mom never get it. And then my in-laws, my mother-in-law and her mother, who's over 100, they both got it, and they're both fine. And he never got it, her dad. So it's just wild how like get some people, but not others.
Yeah, it's just it. So I just wanted to ask, because obviously I've known a lot of people who have COVID, but you're the first person that I've talked to that after the latest vaccine, and I'm going to go ahead and guess that vaccine probably helped you in that you weren't sick longer and maybe your symptoms.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So. No, I got over it within 3 days and then I just kept testing positive for like 10 days, like even on Halloween.
Oh, really?
I was still testing positive, but I felt fine. Mm-hmm. So what we did was, Halloween's like my favorite holiday. So I was outside like on the porch. And so my wife was handing out candy and I was like all the way over on the other side of the porch, just like dressed up, like waving.
Aww.
I was like, hi kids.
Oh.
Don't come near me.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad you're on the mend and it sounds like you don't have long COVID, even though you're still getting winded, you're just kind of recovering. So, you know.
I'm fine. I feel fine. And just every once in a while I cough. So I apologize
if I cough
on this call.
I'll try to edit out any of the coughs if it's possible. Okay. So let's jump into, first I'm going to start off with some interesting news because I had Christopher Boozy on here a couple of weeks ago, and he wanted to talk about, the war in the Middle East. I try to avoid it because it seems like no matter what you say, somebody's going to accuse you of something. And, I'm always going to take the stance of I'm on the side of the innocent people. And,
exactly.
And on top of everything else, I mean, I think this is a really good point that I'm just going to keep driving home. I stand with Israel, period. I stand with Israel, but I do not stand with Netanyahu. So imagine if, like, America was, if Donald Trump were the president and some terrorist group, I mean, you could go to 9/11 or some terrorist group attacked us. The handling of that would be different than if Joe Biden handled it or if Hillary Clinton or if Barack Obama. And so if you have a right-wing fascist handling a terrorist attack, I don't necessarily agree with what Netanyahu is choosing to do, but I still stand with the Israeli people and, you know, Jewish people, and I stand with the Palestinian people who are innocent and caught in this... oh my God, what's happening over there is
there's
just
a common
horrific.
Enemy. The common enemy is Hamas.
Yes.
Like that is both the Palestinian civilians and Israel. And that's what it comes down to. And like, I don't like to dive into it because people will call you all sorts of names from either side. But yeah, I also stand with Israel in there.
Yeah. And I mean, I think
they were attacked and they like, let's return the hostages and all of that. But I'm also at the same time, I don't think that all these civilians in Palestine should be getting completely blown away.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, Israel has
incredibly
the right
complicated
to...
and nuanced, and I think it's so much more complicated than just. I feel like it's in style.
Yeah.
A little bit in fashion to stand only with Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I
mean,
try to
stay
away from that conversation.
Israel has the right to defend itself. So. But again, they've got this fascist right winger.
Yeah, and they're an ally too. They're also a democratic ally in the region that is necessary for our own national defense.
Right, exactly. So I saw Simon Rosenberg posted, it was a YouGov poll. So this was interesting. It says the largest poll, 12,000 people were interviewed, and it's on the U.S. attitudes toward Israel-Hamas conflict. The Democrats overwhelmingly approve of Biden's handling of the conflict. Support for Biden among 18 to 29-year-olds and 45 to 30-year-olds is the highest of any group. So in this poll, there's no evidence of broad backlash. Now, we keep seeing that in the media, and I know Joy Reid is talking about it a lot, and I'm not discounting it because I think, in an election, you don't need to... margins are so thin, so we can't really afford to lose anybody. But that said, that's an interesting poll. And what I wanted to ask you is, we do keep hearing about certain groups of people choosing not to vote for Biden because of this. And then I think it was somebody on Joy Reid last night who said, unless Biden can, figure out how to get peace in the Middle East, he's going to be pissing somebody off. And this is true. But we've got a year to go before the election. And even though nobody can predict what's going to happen with this war, do you have any kind of gut feelings as far as like, because what I'm thinking is maybe we still have some time on this. And it's just because there are polls taken today and people have, strong feelings about something, we're not in 2024 yet. And so I'm not like ready to just make an assumption, a broad assumption on what's going to happen. So I'm feeling okay about it.
Yeah. Like, no, the American people have goldfish memory anyway. So we're like, yeah, we're a year out. Yeah. I'm not particularly worried. And like right now, if something that if it was like 2024 in October, mm-hmm. like an October surprise type thing, yeah, then I would be worried. I'm not worried this far. Obama was behind at this point or whatever in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we need worried. To just throw that in everyone's face all the time, because it's like, yes, this is not the time to be worried about polls, especially when the polls have not been accurate for quite a long time. The only caveat I'm just going to say is I think in 2016, they were fairly accurate because they did predict a Hillary Clinton win. But what was not factored in was the cyber warfare and, you know, the third party people, the focus on those three states toward the end for the Electoral College, and then those third party voters, which we're going to talk about third party in a minute. But I think, okay, so yesterday I had a phone call with a friend of mine who was very upset. She was very worried. Now, she's political, but she's not a hardcore junkie like we are. And I'm not saying hardcore junkies are all in alignment, but with the optimistic, I like to take the optimistic angle. So she started giving me this list, right? She's like, well, here's why I'm afraid. I'm afraid because the war in the Middle East is happening. People say they're not going to vote for Biden. I'm really scared because we're hearing, Donald Trump speaking of Democrats, calling Democrats vermin. I don't know. She listed a couple of other things. So when I talked to her, I said, okay, I don't want to discount any of your fears or concerns because they're all genuine, they're all real. But I said, I think you're taking the fear-mongering view of it as opposed to just looking at it for what it is and then adding in the positive. So I started with vermin. Now, I don't think that this is a positive in any way. The only positive, I think, coming out of Donald Trump using that kind of language is finally, we have started to see mainstream publications like the Washington Post, and I believe it was Forbes, saying that, you know, he's sounding like Hitler, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Even if vote bets were, we tend to never try to compare anyone to Hitler because that tends to be just the trope that people just kind of like fall into and like, oh, anybody you hate is Hitler.
Right.
But he's literally using the words that came out of Hitler's mouth.
Yes. And so the fact that the news media, and I hope this is a trend, that, you know, that they're calling it what it is. I think that's a good thing, even though behind it is a very scary, ugly thing. But I think one of the most, and she said something about, you know, he called Democrats vermin. And it's like, well, yes, but it's more pointed than that. It's more than just like I said, because this woman is white. And I said, you know, you're a white Democrat. And it's not that this is not to make you feel safe or make you feel better, but you're lower on the list of the people he's going to go after. He's going to go after people of color. He's going to go after Jewish people. He's going to go after people who, quote unquote, were mean to him. So I said, you know, if you're basically somebody who's not got a high profile online, you're just a regular Democratic voter, they're not necessarily coming after you. They will, but not in that way. They're not going to deport you. They're not going to arrest you just because you're a Democrat. I said, so you need to understand what the vermin speech is, or the vermin language is all about. It is about echoing Nazi Germany, basically. And so,
yeah, and it's dehumanizing. And the Republicans have been doing this for a long time now. It's dehumanizing people, making them feel like, making their side feel like the other side doesn't matter. Like they're not even human.
Right.
That's what it's. Yeah. It's, and then we're starting to see an uptick in the communist talk again. And honestly, I feel like it's a play for the Latino vote because you have people coming from actual communist countries. Yeah. And if you say you want to defeat the communists here in America,
right,
they, you have a better chance of getting their vote, even though they're being lied to.
Right. Yeah. And sadly, people don't follow up and figure it out. But okay. So then the other thing that I told her, and I really think this is so important, people have to remember this. And you know, I've seen people online come at me and say, well, I'm not going to get positive. You know, I won't get happy, but I'll take this one. Okay, if that's where you want to be, that's fine. Don't get happy. Stay engaged and do everything that you can possibly do. But you can also consider this, This doesn't mean that anything is in the bag. But ever since 2017, ever since Donald Trump became president, every election, all the off elections and everything, have been favoring Democrats to some degree. Yep. Sometimes it's like the other day, we saw a massive victory for Democrats in, you know, Ohio and Kentucky, and we, you know, abortion and pot fucking won the day. So I think that that's a very positive sign, and we're seeing young people showing up and we're seeing women showing up. There's some there are some numbers about women that are kind of worrying me in a bit, but I'll get to those in a minute. But still, I think that the overall trajectory that we have been on has been favorable to Democrats. And the reason is because the right has not figured out, or at least I should say, what they think is working for them by being so bold in announcing their fascist extremist, you know, agenda. I don't know why they think that's going to work for them, but it's sending more people to register as Democrats and vote for Democrats. And I don't see any sign of them stopping. And the last thing I'll say about this, specifically about abortion, is that the Republicans are in such a difficult position, because if they don't straight up say we have to ban it, you know, federally, they could be losing money from the evangelicals that they desperately need, because right now Trump is sucking up all that money and paying off his legal bills with it. So I think that they are really stuck. But the scary thing is Tom Bonnier, who is friends with Simon Rosenberg, and they accurately predicted 2022, said that I believe there was this huge surge in women. I think it was young women specifically, but women voters in, oh God, I think it was Kentucky. So it was right after the Roe decision, and then they got all these surge of Democratic voters, but only 33% of them showed up. So that's, yep, that's a problem. That's a problem we've got. So we have to figure out how do we overcome that? And what would you say is the best way to get people engaged and motivated as we head into 24?
Young people? I don't know. I don't know. My fear is that they're going to vote. I don't know. I just remember back in the day, people voting their conscience.
Right.
You know, they're I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden because this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't vote for Joe Biden, you vote for Trump. That's literally it. No matter who you vote for, if you're not voting for Joe Biden, you are handing Donald Trump a vote.
Yes.
That's what happened 100%. In 2016. So I'm a little bit, I don't know about the young. We need to turn out the vote. We need to get voter registration up. Every 4 years, it has gone up and up and up, and that's a good trend. I don't know what's going to, I haven't really thought about what's going to ignite that base just yet.
I don't understand this whole thing of people women registering to vote and then not showing up, because that's, it doesn't make any sense to me. All I do is go back to my 20-something-year-old self and think, well, I knew if I got pregnant, I could have an abortion. And so I just wasn't concerned. But if I was right now in my 20s, I would be so fucking, I'd be living at the polls.
Agree. No, I totally agree. We need to get people out of their bubbles, out of their safe spaces of their bubbles, and realize that the shit can actually happen to them.
Yeah.
That when you don't vote, it affects you. People need to understand that, because when they don't turn up to vote, and say in 2016, when Donald Trump got 3 Supreme Court justices and Roe was overturned, I hope they still appreciate their vote of conscience that voted for Gary fucking Johnson or Jill Stein.
Yes, I don't think they're
they are just as much to blame as the Trump voters, honestly.
I agree. The thing is I was talking to Bob about this on the after party last Friday, and I'm just, I don't know, because I think that there is, I know a couple who voted for Jill Stein, and they were Bernie supporters initially, but honestly, I don't think they would have voted for Hillary Clinton. Since Bernie didn't get the nomination in 2016, I think they would have just, you know, if Jill Stein wasn't in the picture, they would have just not voted. And so I wonder how many people are really, truly would have voted. I mean, I think there's, again, with the margins, every vote counts and everything. But like, what I wonder what the percentages of people who voted for Jill Stein, who wouldn't have voted for, you know, like if Jill Stein weren't the option, they just would have stayed home anyway. So I don't know about that, but that leads us to there's now we've got this ridiculous gang of, I mean, there's Jill Stein, who's obviously connected to Putin, and she blocked me on Twitter, which I guess if she ever does become president, which will never happen. I mean, it's like she's running.
Oh, she'll never be president.
Of course
she
wouldn't. But of course she will never be president. But I'm just saying, like, if she were to become president, she'd have to unblock me because you're not allowed to do that. But if you want to become president, it seems to me like you'd want to convince people to vote for you, not just block them. But whatever. She's connected to Putin.
Don't make sense.
And then there's Cornel West, who's being, I think, isn't it Harlan Crow who is funding him? Who's also, Harlan Crow is giving money to our Supreme Court justices that are like totally corrupt. And then there's Manchin, who's also getting right-wing money. So is, oh, and then RFK. Who's also getting right-wing money. So all these people who are running as either progressives or alternatives to Democrats are all being funded by fucking right-wing billionaires. And I just feel like, I mean, I think that is our most pressing, like, danger. I genuinely do, because there's a bunch of them now. And if you, I don't know how it will work when it comes to, you know, is Cornesk, if they're all going to run third party, like, okay, Jill Stein will be on the green ticket. And then, I don't know, then I guess RFK will just,
I mean, they have to get on the ballot in all the states to try to be taken seriously. Right. But it still could be enough to fuck things up.
Right, exactly. But it's like, if that all happens, though, there's going to be a bunch of them. And that's the fear, is that a few vote for Jill, a few vote for Cornell, a few vote for RFK. And some of those votes will be taken away from Trump, too, specifically any kind of Manchin or RFK. So I don't know. I think that is what we have to look at. And, you know, Joy Reid is talking about that on her show. And she's framing it in that way as if they're spoilers, and she's not pulling any punches. And I think we need to see that from more news media, but I don't know that we're going to, and that worries me.
Well, yeah, well, how Hitler won, like he lost and then he came back and he ran and he won. And he won with only something like 33% of the vote.
Yeah.
Because so many people were in that race, and that's how he became chancellor, was how he became, that's how he won, was that there were so many people in the race that he got the vote. And so it's a very real possibility that you're wondering how many of these people that are running are planted and like they're trying to run the same freaking election strategy that Hitler used.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think they are. I mean, I think the Harlan Crows of this world understand that. And then you have the ego of somebody like RFK or Cornell. And while they may not be rubbing their fingers together going, I'm going to bring Trump back, I think they have delusions of their own grandeur and think that, oh, I'm going to be able to, you know, maybe they understand they're not going to be president, but they think they're sending some fucking mail. I don't know what it is they're thinking, but whatever they're thinking, they're taking money from a right-wing billionaire, which I know they know that's not the right thing to do, but they're doing it anyway. So fuck them. I don't know. You know, that's to me, that's the scariest part of what we're facing, because I think if it's just left up to the two parties, I'm not afraid at all as far as Donald Trump is concerned. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's all fucking scary. I fucking hate this. So I just try.
I think it's still so early.
It is.
People will drop out. Like, I think it's incredibly early. I always say people are running to write books. Mm-hmm. They're running to get a book deal. We might see some of that and have people drop out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think it's incredibly early. We'll know more heading into like next summer.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, hey, everybody. This is Kimberly, the host of the podcast you're listening to right now. I'd really appreciate it if you went to patreon.com/startmeup, took a look at the different tiers, and supported the show. That's patreon.com/startmeup. Thanks so much.
Join me, 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty, on my podcast, My Life of Crime, as I take on true crime investigations like no other. This season, I'm looking into the labyrinth of crime and secrets within families. I'm cutting straight to the evidence and talking to the people directly involved, including investigators and the families of victims. Listen to My Life of Crime with Erin Moriarty wherever you get your podcasts.
And now we're going to talk about George Santos. So we just got the news today. He's not running again. No more running for him. So I'm just going to read a couple of different things. I saw a couple of different tweets from various people. So after the 2022 election, $20,000 in George Santos campaign funds were transferred to the bank account for Santos' business and then used $6,000 for Ferragamo. He purchased stuff from Ferragamo stores to pay Santos rent and a cash withdrawal at a casino. There's also, here's David Korn says, the sleeves keeps coming. So House Ethics Committee revealed that $50,000 from donors was solicited for political purposes, but the money was transferred into his personal account and spent on OnlyFans, Hermes, and Sephora. Sephora! All his lip gloss. So,
fucking to keep up drag appearances.
God. Oh yeah. Hold on. Let's see. Personal gain. Yeah. He committed fraud. So, he's in big trouble and it'll be interesting to see what happens, because if they were to kick him out, he'd have to be replaced and the chances of a Democrat winning are high. So I don't know. I guess we're just
going to. They are in that district. They're pretty high.
Yeah. We're going to have to stay tuned on that one. And then let's see. Here's what Mueller, she wrote, says, Ken Buck tells Andrea Mitchell that Santos has now received due process via the House Ethics Committee and should resign if he doesn't by Thanksgiving. Buck says he believes another expulsion resolution will be voted on in the House. Ooh! So it's kind of good.
I think he's going to get expelled. I honestly do.
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance of that happening. And again, then he will be replaced. And that takes them down. If a Democrat were to get in this interim, I don't know when the election would be or how that would work. But that, you know, at least until 2024, the election in 2024, would that mean that we were three down in the House? Are we four down now? Is it like, I can't remember what the breakdown is of the Republican majority.
I think it was five. I thought it was
maybe
five.
It was five. Okay,
I could be wrong.
It's five or four. Close. So yeah, we're getting there. But that's kind of interesting. And I don't know. I can't help but feel like as we watch all this, I don't even know what you would call it. I mean, there's chaos happening. There's the Republicans are fighting and they're pushing each other and they're calling each other names and they're having, you know, arguments, acting like they're going to go fight on the Senate floor. And
oh my God, I saw that.
It's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
But it's like, I can't help but get this feeling that, I mean, I want this to continue, even though it's not good for us, I want this to continue, because it seems like the more they act this way, the more chaotic things are. I think the more eyes are opened, you know?
Yeah, well, the Democrats are the reasonable party right now. Right. They're just the ones that, you know, they're the adults in the room. And Republicans are, you know, they're eating their own, and mm-hmm. they're just disgusting.
It's disgusting, and it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what, I'm going to be petty, but it's not based on her physical appearance, or I'm going to mention her physical appearance, but I'll just talk about it. So Ivanka looks different, right? Have you seen those pictures of her side by side?
I have. I mean, I don't really give a shit what she looks like. I'm more concerned that she's...
No, I know. Felon.
It looks like she had a neck lift. Yeah.
It looks like she had a chin implant. And, you know, there was the side... But I think this is funny because, number one, she said that it would be, what was it, undo something to have to go to the trial and testify against her father, undo hardship or something like that. You know, she's got kids in school, but yet she has time to get plastic surgery and recover from plastic surgery. But the thing is what I find interesting about this, and I'm not bagging on her looks. I just think regardless of what you think of Ivanka Trump, you know, she is generally considered a beautiful woman, right? And
yeah,
now, I mean, I've always thought she was beautiful. I don't like her. I think she's horrible, but I think she's beautiful. And I mean, this is all just like kind of succession psychology here, because it's like now she has gone and changed her face. And I personally don't think it's flattering on her. And it makes me wonder why. It just makes me wonder, like, she's got to be, obviously, her and her fucking husband got $2 billion from the Saudis. She can do anything she wants. She's pretty much stayed out of the public eye now. And she complains that she doesn't want to testify against her father because of undue hardship, yet she's getting facial reconstruction. And I just wonder, because like I said, I just recently watched, have you watched Succession?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
Yeah, and I fucking love it. But it's like the kids of the Roy kids were all so fucked up, and they each individual had their own, like, how their father fucked them up, mother and father fucked them up. And so I look at Ivanka. I mean, we can all see Don Jr. clearly has a drug problem, and he's got all kinds of issues, and you know, he didn't talk to his father for years, and because of what happened with his mother, and they all have their own individual problems. But I look at her and I find her somewhat fascinating, because I know she desperately wants to be taken seriously. Desperately, mm-hmm. desperately. And I think she's doing this. I think she's trying to change her physical appearance. I mean, she's done it before. It's nothing new. But still, I think she's trying to change her physical appearance because she's fucking miserable. I think she's just miserable. And we have a tendency to look at people who are wealthy and who have power and think, oh, they're so happy and they have everything. And I think that the photographs of her that recently just came out spell to me a story that she's fucking miserable. And that's not that I'm not saying that this is great and good news for us. But I mean, I think that it's a toll that's it's taking a toll on them as well. You know, the sons aren't doing physical things to themselves. I don't know, you know, how they're coping with everything that's going on. But to me, I think we're seeing how Ivanka's coping because it's on her face, you know?
It's fascinating. I mean, and then Don Jr. is clearly on drugs, and yes. Which is, you know, it's as much as we make fun of him, it's also incredibly sad.
It is.
But yeah. So I look at it, she was like, you think about their lives before their father became president. They were just off living their own lives, doing their own things, doing whatever. And then they got dragged in to surround their father. And it's fucked them up each in their own ways. And now they're all being really scrutinized for being so associated with their father. And it's just...
I mean,
I don't feel bad for them.
No.
I mean, we all make our choices, but at the same time, I'm like, think about if he never ran,
right?
What these people would be doing now, like Ivanka would probably be doing like some sort of fashion thing or whatever philanthropic work in New York City or, you know, and the boys would have taken over for the company. And then like Donald Trump could have just gone and retired to Mar-a-Lago and just like, but now it's all this shit.
Yeah, and now they're looking at prison time. I mean, I don't know if the kids are, but for sure dad is, and maybe the kids are. And I don't know. I just like, you know, I have to say, I fucking love Succession. That show, it was so charismatic and so good. And I'm just, for those of you who have not seen it, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay are the producers. And it was like they took every opportunity to expose these wealthy people, because I don't think all wealthy people are this way, but it's like these particular kinds of, which basically, I think this was an amalgamation of the Trumps and the Murdoch family, and really just highlighted the disgustingness of it, but in an entertaining and often funny way. So I like to kind of apply it to watching the Trumps, because they really, I mean, they're not exactly the Roys on the show are not the Trumps, but I do think Kendall is Don Jr. I really do. I think Kendall's a little bit smarter than Don Jr., but he's still Don Jr. And so I don't know. It's like, I love to, I try to parallel them and think, you know, because the father Roy was always telling his kids to fuck off, and he was always undermining them and playing them against each other. And you know, Donald Trump does this. And so there is a psychology in the Trump family that is you know, even though they're gross and all that, I mean, it's just there. And I was a fucking actor. I'm so interested in human psychology. So it's not that I'm interested in the Trump family per se, but they're in front of our faces every goddamn day. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm the kind
of. And you can also notice the ones like Tiffany, who just kind of stands back. She's like, I don't want anything to fucking do with this. Yeah. Like, she'll appear when she needs to appear or whatever, but like, you see that. You've seen Melania just step back a whole bunch. You never see Baron.
Never.
I think Melania, I think she protects him like immensely. It's the only thing I respect her for, is protecting Baron.
Right.
That and that's it, because she's not a good person
she's
either.
She's a horrible person.
And she has keeping Baron out of the public eye.
Yes. The other correlation I'll make is when Shiv in Succession, when I guess Shiv was, you know, outside walking, I don't remember what it was to, maybe a court hearing, whatever, just like with Ivanka, people were screaming fascist at her, and that was happening to Ivanka. So I just thought that was interesting. Again, the parallels of that show and what we're seeing play out right now is just, just amazing. And it was funny because Bob didn't want to watch it. He had started watching it, I think it was during the Trump presidency, and he watched the first show and he thought, I can't do this. I just can't watch it right now. And so
I had to go back to it. I didn't watch it right away. I had to go back to it.
I mean, I can understand. I mean, I didn't necessarily have a big urge to watch it, but then I kept watching everybody win awards. And then my girlfriend was telling me, she's like, oh my God, I love Succession so much. And thought, so I said, Bob, I'm like, we need to at least try it. And he's like, all right. He goes, now that Trump isn't president anymore. And then we became addicted. It was like, oh
100%,
my God.
No, it was last year. I binged it last year. And then I watched this last season in real time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Yeah, it was really, it's really fucking really, really good. Okay. I just want to quickly go over, I don't know how we can do this quickly, but the 2025 project is really fucking horrifying. And they're, you know, I mean, I'm going to go back to the people saying they're not going to vote for Biden. I would urge everybody who says they're not. And I know that anybody who would be listening to my show who says they're not going to vote for Biden, I'm sure they're pretty aware of Donald Trump and what he's saying will happen. But I would just say, please go to that. It's Project 2025. Look it up. Look up what they're planning to do. Steve Bannon already told us a bunch, but I mean, they're going to have detainment camps. They're going to, they're not making a secret of what they're going to do. They're going to go full autocracy, full fascism. They're going to take from the Hitler handbook. And I just posted on Twitter a picture of the three men from the three white men from the Heritage Foundation, who, you know, are, I guess, the architects of this new website. And it's fucking terrifying. And so I think that that's one thing that we need to do. Influencers need to do. And anybody on, I mean, obviously there are people who have more followers than others, but if you have 250 followers, you're going to influence some people. So if you're on social media, please, please, please find out about this 2025 project, talk about it, let your friends and family know. We need to make sure everybody knows this. And the media needs to be talking about it a lot more. Have you been hearing about it on the media?
I haven't. What's scary to me is, like, we saw how bad Donald Trump was, you know, when he had to be up for re-election. Mm-hmm. Think about a lame Donald Trump. He will probably end up figuring out a way to stay in power infinitely, like Putin. Mm-hmm. That is what scares me more than anything. It's like you're going to have a man who's going to feel like he's untouchable, especially if nothing happens to him legally.
Yeah. Wow.
And that is incredibly scary. And you're going to see really fucked up things starting to happen. Like, they will happen. People didn't think Roe would get overturned. Mm-hmm. They got overturned. You have to believe when people tell you something might happen, it will happen. Like, mm-hmm. go and listen to old clips of Hillary Clinton, who told you exactly what was going to happen. And then it happened.
Yeah.
And she's always still the smartest person in the room. And I will never forget people for not voting for her. I just won't. But because we could have had, they're like, oh, it'll be another Obama term. Oh, yeah, because that would have been fucking horrible.
I know.
Jesus Christ. I know. Oh, no, it was time when we got, like, gay marriage and healthcare. Oh, God.
That was so awful.
That's terrible. All these awful things are happening. Let's go and vote for a guy that's like Hitler, or get a vote for, like, somebody that's, you know, that we that's our perfect candidate, but it then gives a vote to the guy who's going to give us Hitler. You know, right. It's just like, ugh.
I know. It's just, it's maddening. It's unfucking believable. Okay.
It's privilege. Can go to the polls and you know your vote could hand an election to somebody that's going to be so awful, but you personally will not be touched, but you're voting your conscience. That is privilege. And you need to look in the mirror and realize who the fuck you are.
Totally. And I love it when you get all hardcore like that. But I think I think that it's privilege.
I get really angry about it because I could lose my right to be married. Like, yes. I could lose, like, I've already lost my right to an abortion. I could lose my right to be married.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Well, and the thing is it's privilege, but it's also ignorance, because unless you are a wealthy right wing man who's white, you will lose something. And even if you, I mean, okay, if you're wealthy, you're pretty much, if you're a wealthy right winger white man, you're pretty much going to be okay. After that, there's going to be shit. You know, whether it's healthcare, whether it's taking away our Social Security, and the quality of life would just go down anyway for everybody. Because as we know, when the middle class was very strong, everybody benefited from it. So if the economy, it's just like Russia. We would basically have a Russia, a modern day Russia, where we have, you know, a certain group that have the money and the rest of the people who don't really have much of anything. And
that's
so
exactly right. And that's exactly right.
And so, yeah, again, if you're wealthy and you're white, especially if you're a man, yeah, you may not be touched. And I will say a heterosexual man, because the rest of us are going to be fucked. So it's privilege, but it's ignorance and it's selfishness. Because it's people not understanding the consequences of, you know, their actions. And
Very myopic. They see what's in front of their face and in their own specific bubble.
Yeah.
And they can't think long term.
Right.
And I know that, like, me speaking like this doesn't really reach out to a lot of folks, but I'm pissed. And sometimes people need some hard truths.
True. And you're right. Okay. So let's just go into a happy mode for just a minute, because we're heading into the holiday season. And, you know, I'm just going to say to everybody out there who's still listening, and I'll have to talk about this sooner. On December 7th.
People tune out when I start getting angry.
No, they don't. It's just that I think after a period of time, you know, there's that rate where people cut out. But okay. So on December 7th, I'm going to have to go stay with my mom for however long, because she's having knee replacement surgery. I don't exactly know what's going to happen in the month of December with this podcast, because I'm going to have to figure out how to do things in advance. And I don't know if I'm going to have the time, and we'll see what happens. But I'm just letting everyone know right now, December is up in the air for me for the holiday season. But we are getting ready to head into Thanksgiving. So what are your Thanksgiving plans?
My Thanksgiving plans are, my family's, my mom and dad are coming from New York.
Nice.
Yeah. With their new puppy. Oh. So that will be, I'm excited for that. And then my wife's family's coming over. So we're basically just having all our parents.
Oh, that's nice. What kind of puppy?
Yeah. Yeah. My brother's doing stuff with his wife's family. And then next year we'll probably flip flop it and stuff.
What kind of puppy do they have?
It's a beagle puppy. Aww. It was a rescue from it was like a mill and like those testing places, because beagles are often, they're the most tested on animals.
Yeah. Wow.
Because they're That's so docile awesome. And lovely. Yeah. Aww. So she was, I actually got it for her. She came to my local animal hospital and they put a post on Facebook and I reached out and I was like, okay, I told my mom and I was like, do you want this dog? Because it's up for adoption. And she's like, yes. And then I got it. I literally within 90 minutes, I had the dog in my living room, and then I drove it out to New York for them.
That's so sweet. Oh my God. What's the dog's name?
Molly.
That's so cute. Well, I just have to tell you really quick on, and I can hear the dogs in the background.
Yeah. There's somebody doing something like has the audacity to walk in front of my house.
Right. Those people walking in front of your house. My dad has a new puppy and his name is Zane, and he is he's like a lab mix. He was a rescue, but I'm trying to think. I know he has some boxer in him, but he's fucking hysterical because, and I talk about this on my Patrons Only show, and if you are my patron, I do a Patrons Only show called What's Up on Tuesday, every Tuesday. And so I included pictures of Zane. And it's so funny because, okay, there's my dad and stepmom, right? With my stepmom, I mean, Zane is a puppy, so she's teaching him. But he listens to her. He's a very smart dog. He listens to her, and he basically minds her. Okay, so then my dad has his spot on the couch. And Zane is a fucking obsessed with my father. It's so funny. He just won't leave him alone. And, you know, he does not mind my father. So he totally listens to my stepmother, and he's a good puppy. And I mean, of course, he's a puppy, so he's going to do puppy things, but he's pretty good at listening to her. But then my father, I have pictures of it. It's hilarious. It's like while my dad's sitting on the couch, Zane is just on him, like literally on him. And he just won't leave my dad alone. He wants constant attention. And it's so cute because my dad acts like the poor, like, oh, poor me. But he loves it. He fucking loves the attention. And I mean, I'm so grateful that he has this dog because my dad is now in his 70s and a lot of his friends of, you know, are MAGA. And he sits on that fucking couch all day and watches the news. And so, you know, and he gets upset. He doesn't watch Fox, thankfully. He's a liberal, but he gets upset. And then, you know, so now Zane comes along. And it's just like every time I call my father, I can hear him going, no, stop, get away. No, stop.
I was just on the phone with my mom this morning. It was very similar because what Molly will do is she'll jump onto my mom's chair, go up to the top, and then jump across to the countertop. Like, she'll, like, know where the food is. So my mom basically has to, like, keep everything clear. And, like, she's just very much a puppy. And she's, like, just... But it's good because, you know, she's happy and healthy and all that. And I love it because, like, my parents are also in their 70s. And it keeps them on their toes.
It does. It keeps
like,
them
like, they're
young.
Not just, like, sitting around all day. They're, like, walking the dog. Mm-hmm. And they're doing stuff with the dog. And it's keeping them active and their mm-hmm. mind stimulated. And I think it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, it gives them some... You know, they have someone to love. That they get unconditional love. And, you know, although freaking Zane ate my father's hearing aid, and that was really dangerous because he could have died from that. So they had to rush him to the emergency vet and spent like $500 to get this thing out. I think they had to give him, he had to throw up. And, you know, he's just a puppy though. It's like you said, when they're a puppy, they've just got boundless energy and they're just, he's the sweetest little dog ever, but he's so funny because the other thing that he does that cracks me up is you throw the ball and he gets it, and then you want to pretend you're going to get the ball from him and he does not want you to get it. And then as soon as you ignore him, so my dad will go, watch, and then he'll throw the ball and then he tries to get the ball and Zane runs away. And then so my dad acts uninterested and then he starts walking away and then Zane comes up to his ass and starts hitting him in the ass with the ball.
Yep. That sounds like my dog Cooper. Cooper does that.
It's so cute. I just love it. So but that sounds good. So you're going to have a good Thanksgiving. And then I don't know if I probably won't talk to you before the end of the year. So do you have any fun? Do you know what you're going to do for Christmas?
I don't know what I'm going to do for Christmas. I haven't thought that far ahead. I didn't know what I was going to do for Thanksgiving until last week. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I think for Bob and me, it's just our normal, you know, making the rounds as much as we can. So and then having as much time off to ourselves as we can get. I think that's the goal. So but, you know, hey, I think it's a good reminder to everybody that, we have a lot right now on our plates. And there's a lot to be concerned about and worried about, but we are heading into the holiday season. And right now we just came off of a great election for Democrats, and we don't have an election that worries us until next year. So I'm going to say, let's all just enjoy this holiday and, you know, do what we can. I'd say to spread the love as best you can, because we need some love right now in the world. There's lots of other things going on, so we need to counter it with love. So that's my advice to everybody, which this brings us to the end of the show. And I'm just going to give you a big virtual loving hug, Sarah.
Very much likewise. Aww. I have to give a shout out to Skyly Heinen, who is now, I don't know what her married name is, but I told her I'd give her a shout out.
Oh, Skyly. Yes, Skyly recently got married. And then she also put on Twitter that she got, and I want to ask you this, that there was something from Biden congratulating her on her wedding. Is that because she is a vet?
I don't know. I know that you can, I've seen other people get the letters from the president. Like, one of my other friends has one from Obama, and they're not veterans. So I'm not sure what that, But that's still really neat. That's like something that's super special. I was like, you better be framing that.
No kidding. I know. I would. I would be framing that all over the place. All right. So tell everybody where to find you.
You can find me on almost all social media at Sarah Wood Writer, S-A-R-A-H-W-O-D, Writer, like writing things down. And then I'm also the social media director over at Vote Vets, which is the largest progressive veterans organization in the country. And we do great things getting veterans elected, national security officials elected, and pushing for legislation that will help all of our veterans.
Very cool. Follow both, Sarah. And Vote Vets. And of course, I am author Kimberly on X, but then go to my pinned tweet and you'll find everything else. But, you know, I'm everywhere because I have to be, because I'm also social media director for Mueller, She Wrote for MSW Media. So we're both social media directors, and you got to follow
us. She's a great veteran herself.
She is a great veteran. So awesome. All right. Well, Sarah, it's always lovely talking to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
You as well.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.